Welcome to Second Take, episode 3.
Second Take.
I'm Ben.
This actually is the second take.
This is actually the second take.
I've been working. We recorded for 7 minutes, and Levi forgot to turn on his mic. And during that 7 minutes, Will's long drive, in quotation marks, he's already back at the crib. But he just did not want to come make the podcast today. And so, I'm Eli.
I'm Ben.
I'm Levi.
I think, unless Will wants to change his mind, we might be seeing, this might be the normal crew here.
I think so. I don't know. We'll see.
Get your act together.
As we're making this podcast too, I just got this pulled up on my phone. Luke Henning just got into a car crash, a little fender bender. We'll follow up with that later. But Luke's just a little bit of a not okay in the head. So I'm not saying he has mental disabilities. He's just dumb.
All right. Let's get into what we're going to talk about. But first I'm going to say we got a TikTok up. It's tough. Got some edits on there. A little bit of LeBron. Some like upset alerts, whatever. And then the second take is the name for it.
If you want to find it, there it is.
On TikTok. And then we're going to drop it Instagram and we'll put the same name. And then let's go into what we're going to talk about. We're talking about March Madness, NFL rule changes, and then more NFL stuff. Let's go into the Elite Eight. So we're going to recap all the Elite Eight games. We're going to start with UConn, Illinois. So,
bro, it's Illinois. It is not Illinois, bro. Oh my.
Illinois, I don't really care. So Illinois. They were pretty close until halftime. It was like 26-23 at half. And then after half, UConn for like 8 minutes scored 33 points without Illinois scoring a single point, which is insane. We're going to say some. UConn's just dominant. I mean, the final score was 77-52. I mean, they just pulled away, and then Illinois had no shot to that 33-0.
Yeah, UConn. I can't remember the exact number, but they haven't lost. They've won every single game in the tournament for the past 2 years by like 15 points or more. It's some absurd number like that. Like, their games just haven't been close. And it's looking dominant now, but I'm feeling like they're about to choke. I'm feeling upset alert. Alabama versus UConn. I'm feeling upset alert because I feel like Alabama can get hot and keep up with their scoring pace. But if Alabama just doesn't shoot well, then they're going to be cooked from the start.
Yeah, speaking of Alabama, let's talk about the Alabama-Clemson game. It's pretty mid-game. Clemson was up for a while, like by quite a bit, and then Alabama just pulled away.
Their streak was bound to end.
Yeah.
The game was pretty boring.
Final score was 89-82. Pretty high-scoring game, but...
Hey, football schools make an appearance, though. Clemson, Alabama, both football schools. Maybe
True.
Have a spot in the basketball department. We'll see coming up next year.
Hey, Clemson, I don't know. They peaked it, like... This year they were
right.
Not that good
at football. They're still a football school, though.
Yeah, like they're known for their little Trevor Lawrence era. Yeah, we'll go to Duke, NC State. Levi, what are your thoughts?
DJ Burns is a beast. Jared McCain, he sold the game.
They shot like 30%.
Yeah, they just couldn't. They couldn't make their threes. DJ Burns is just crazy. He's too big. He could just get around, and he's quick for being a 300-pound boy.
Yeah, I want to see what DJ Burns eats in a day. I want to know that kid's diet. Buddy's a mess. Buddy's playing the wrong sport. He used to be on the line. Get him off the block. Put him on the line.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Duke selling.
Maybe don't paint your fingernails. NC State is just that team. I'm super excited for the
And that was your sleeper team from last podcast, right?
Yep, it is. I've watched it since the ACC tournament. I've trusted in DJ Burns.
Yeah, I'm pretty sad that Duke, my sleeper team, lost in the Elite Eight. Had them going to the championship, but it's okay. Jared McCain paints his nails, so I'm fine with NC State winning.
And my team, Purdue, we're still holding strong. We got a nice little dub over Tennessee. Zach Edey.
Fraudulent.
He's just him.
Free throw merchant.
I think he's just dropping 40 does not mean he's a free throw merchant. How many of those were free throws?
I think. He shot 14 free throws.
He made 13 and he shot 21.
He shot 22 and made 14, yeah. And then he made 13 field goals for 40 points.
Yeah, I'm just let the big dog eat. They just kept feeding him. I was watching the game. They'd throw it down there on the block. He'd either get a foul, go up, or he'd pass it back out, and they'd pass it right back into him to go at it again. They just had no one to stop him, so they just took the mismatch and just went full crazy. So I feel like their next game against NC State, if Burns can step it up, I think the first half, NC State will take a lead because I don't think Edie's going to be ready for that type of competition. And then I just feel like someone else on Purdue will just step it up and just start making shots because they were reliant on Edie all the way up here. So I think between NC State and Purdue, it's just going to be who else on the team is going to step up.
I mean, I agree with your points, except for the fact that I think it rolls towards NC State. Because you saw Duke yesterday, they couldn't even make an adjustment for DJ Burns. Like, obviously, like, they don't have a type of center, like a dynamic center, kind of like Zach Edey. But, I mean, Horn, their point guard, NC State's point guard, he had him and Burns combined for, like, two-thirds of their points. I mean, he stepped up, too. It wasn't just DJ yesterday.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it didn't help when Duke's big. I forgot his name. He fouls out. I mean, so like once that happened, there was no shot that Duke was going to come back. But yeah, the final score for the Purdue Tennessee, 72-66. It was pretty close matchup whole game. Quite a few score changes and it was just close game all the way through to the end, but. They couldn't beat Zach Edey and his however tall, 10-foot tall.
Yeah, so let's each go through and do our final four predictions. I'll start. So I'll take Purdue over NC State, and I'll take Alabama over UConn because I feel like UConn's just bound to lose. They can't be just dropping these dubs like they have been. They've been up by, 20? They haven't lost a tournament game. In the last 2 years, they've won every tournament game by like 15 or something. And I just feel like Alabama could keep up with them if they shoot well. If they do what they did to Clemson in the second half, if they play like that for a whole game, I feel like they have a chance. So I'm taking Alabama versus Purdue in the final, Purdue winning it all. Levi?
Yeah, I think I got UConn winning against Alabama. Alabama's never been to the spot ever. In their whole basketball. Nah, that was crazy. My mic picked all of that up. UConn beats Alabama. Alabama's never in the spot. I think there's a ton of pressure once you get to the Final Four. The whole world's watching you. And I think UConn's been here before and they know what they're doing. So I think they're going to pull it out. Pull it off. My bad. Then NC State. I think NC State's gonna beat Purdue. DJ Burns is just a beast of a man, 300-pound, just monster. Shaq 2.0. I don't know. We'll see. He might break he might break the goal. What is your thoughts, Ben?
I'm gonna go same thing. I got UConn and NC State. We'll first start with UConn. Eli's spitting facts over there that they're winning every game by 20, but I'm like, that points every direction to why would they not continue that? Like, Alabama, like Levi said, first Final Four appearance ever, I believe. And people that know how to win will win. We saw that with K-State versus KU in football way back. KU's winning, but they don't know how to win. K-State knows how to win and pull out a game. And who won that game? K-State.
I mean, yeah. I think that's a good point. Yeah. I like that.
And NC State, Purdue. I've already kind of spit my facts about that, but DJ Burns and Horn, they're just those guys. And I think it's going to be a really good game. No matter what the scoreline is, it's going to be a really entertaining game to watch Edie face off against Burns. And I'm excited. All right, so we'll move to hot topics of the NFL. We got Rashee Rice and, sadly, Vontae Davis. We'll start with the lighter side with Rashee Rice.
Yeah, I mean, this lighter side isn't too light, but luckily, I mean, he got in a car crash in Dallas. Luckily, he wasn't the one driving, I'm pretty sure. But they did flee the scene, so I'm assuming he'll get at least 6 games suspended. And then, I don't know, that'll be a big hit. But if the Chiefs go get another wide receiver, who knows, maybe it won't be a
huge hit. So we got Henry Ruggs 2.0, Rashee Rice over here. Apparently, he wasn't driving, but the car was registered to him. He caused a 6-car car crash on the highway. Him and this other car both, like, collided and, like, skid against a railing. And, yeah, like Levi said, the Lamborghini fled the scene. There's a little man-wide, like, hunt for Rashee Rice right now. He's not turning himself in.
They found him?
I think, what is it, day 2 now?
I don't know if that's – I haven't heard anything about him.
Well, he hasn't turned himself in. They haven't found him.
They haven't found him.
So I think he's – I don't know if he's avoiding arrest, but we'll see.
I mean, I saw the clip this morning, and I mean, no one's hurt. Like, I think they're all minor injuries. Like, obviously not nobody's hurt, but they're all minor injuries. So, I mean, I see him getting suspended, but it's not going to be like a Henry Ruggs type situation where he's just...
Yeah, nobody died.
Yeah, I don't see prison time if he's not driving. I see prison time for the driver for fleeing.
Yeah, it also just depends what was in the car, too. Because they might have fled because they might have had, like, drugs in the car. They might have had, like, stuff in the car. So that could have been the reason they fled.
I mean, I heard that Rashee Rice, like, they left his car. Like, and he left his ID. Apparently, he left his ID and his Chiefs jersey in there. So they just knew it was him.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, one thing about the NFL is these star players. I mean, they always find a way to make them so, like,
these people who are on the up.
These people who are on the up, who are, like, becoming good players. I mean, we see with Henry Ruggs, they make stupid decisions, and then they either ruin their career or, like, halt their career for a little while. But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so we'll switch to the sadder thing today, Vontae Davis. I think some people thought it was an April Fool's joke, but until ESPN posted and some official news outlets posted. But yeah, I'll let Eli.
So Vontae Davis, he passed away at 35. Many of you know his name from the viral video about how when he was getting traded from the Dolphins to the Colts, he immediately asked if he could call his grandma as he started tearing up. That went viral on TikTok, YouTube, all of that. So, but he was a cornerback. He was a two-time Pro Bowl cornerback. So, just sad to see stuff like that happening at such a young age. It doesn't look like any foul play was involved. So, I don't think there's much more updates on that at this point. Just sad to see.
So, we'll switch to some rule changes, some pretty radical changes this week. We've got the hip drop tackle and review on roughing the passer, more challenges, and the new kickoff rules. I think that's more like is it the XFL rules
that they're based off of? We'll get into that in a second.
We'll start with the hip drop tackle. As you two being football players, I'll let y'all
take over. I see the point, but it just depends on how heavily they monitor that. Because if they just monitor as, like, if they drop on their leg after a tackle, then I think that could be fine. But if they just do anything from the hip, then that's where we could get into, like, a real issue of, like, why don't we just play flag football, you know? And so I'll let Levi comment on that.
Yeah, it's a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down is the what you get. But if you think about it, most of these hip drop tackles come from when a guy's running behind a player and trying to keep them from scoring a touchdown. Which would you rather have, a touchdown or a 15-yard penalty? I mean, I'd take the 15-yard penalty. The hip drop tackle is still going to happen. And who knows, the definition of it is super complex. I think it's going to cause more end of game controversial calls, and it's just going to end up with more upset NFL fans. But I don't know. I think it's stupid.
They don't care about their fans anyway, so.
Yeah, it's whatever. I don't know. I don't understand how. I mean, I was surprised it happened, because they have to have 22 of the 32 owners vote on it, like vote to have something go through, basically. And that's a crazy change, but I don't know.
Okay, we'll move to roughing the passer.
Yeah, so basically they changed the rule, so if a roughing the passer is called, they're gonna review it, like in the box, and so like because there's been so many times where roughing the passer has not been roughing the passer, but has been called roughing the passer, like when Chris Jones got on Derek Carr and literally stripped the ball, and then they called roughing the passer and it got negated. But, I mean, we won that game, so I don't really care. But
all right, yeah. Hold up. Going back to the hip drop tackle, I pulled up the definition here. It says, it is a foul if a player uses the following technique to bring the runner to the ground: grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. And so, like Levi was saying, there's a lot of, like, things to go with that. So it could get super controversial. But I feel like that's not, like, a technique that you would do on purpose if you're just running to catch after somebody. Their legs are going to be behind them. I feel like it's just football at that point. And I can see how that can cause injuries. But no one's, like, blatantly doing that to try and hurt someone. So, I don't know. But my thoughts on the roughing the passer review, I think that's going to be really good for the NFL this year. Because even, like, I was, like, watching a Broncos game, and Russell Wilson would get, like, a roughing the passer call, and I just feel like they didn't even do anything. And so just even, like, as, like, watching your own team see, like, they can't even, like, sack anymore. So I think this will be a really good change depending on how they are with it, or if they're going to do, like, no contact, like, at all, basically, and just make it so, like, if you hit him at all, and review it for that, or if they review it for if he actually, like, landed on him with his full weight, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the softest rules in football, I think, because I think I've seen more bad calls of it than good.
Yeah. I think the whole, like, trying to keep the quarterback safe is not necessarily a terrible thing, but sometimes these calls are just so controversial. It's, like, not being able to review it is such a pain because, like, there's just nothing you can do about it. It's like you see a terrible call and you're like, well, like, what are we going to do? There's nothing you can do about it. But, yeah.
We'll go to more challenges.
Oh, yeah. So basically the new rule with the challenges is going to be so normally if you get one challenge wrong, you lose a timeout and you can't do another, like you can do another challenge, but you don't get like the third one. You have to get both challenges right to get a third challenge. Now all you have to do is get one challenge right to get a third challenge. And so like sometimes in these end of game things, they don't have any challenges left because they got one wrong and then they used another one and maybe they got the one right and they just have no shot of doing anything, like of reviewing a play that could have caused them to lose the game. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's good. What is the rule, right? Is it, this is kind of like a spinoff, but is it no challenges in the last 2 minutes?
Don't they automatically review everything in the last 2 minutes? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how it works. I don't know exactly. I think last 2 minutes, but like they like review most of the stuff in the last 2 minutes anyways, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, I like the new challenge because there's so many like missed things, but still, like again, there's a lot of things that aren't allowed to be challenged. That I think that like it would be beneficial to be able to challenge some of these things. Like, I mean, I know that was super controversial, like a pass interference, like especially I think maybe the Super Bowl one, like if that was able to be challenged, the Eagles Chiefs one, because that's like a really, really controversial. I personally see it more as a hold than a pass interference, and that would have saved the Eagles so much more yardage.
I think with that, I mean, like, who knows? Chiefs still could have won that game.
Yeah.
But, like, also with that thing, I think it was a weak call, but, I mean, it was the right call. But it was a very weak call. And that's my personal opinion on that. But I don't know. Do we want to move into the kickoff?
Yeah, I'll let Levi talk about that because you actually posted that on our TikTok. Little plug, second_take_2 on TikTok. We talked about it a little bit on there, so just look that up real quick.
All right. So basically, this is how this would work. The kicker is still in the same spot as they were before, and they have to. But the kicking team, like the other players on the kicking team, and the people on the receiving team are all like 5 yards apart or like 10 yards apart from each other when they start. And so they'll still be like running at each other and blocking, but the ball has to, if the ball, there's a landing zone from like the 30 to the end zone is not part of the landing zone. You have to land, if you land it in the landing zone and it goes into the end zone, they get on the 20-yard line. If you land it on in the end zone and you have to return, if you catch the ball, you have to return it or else it's like, I don't know, I think you go, I don't know what happens, but yeah, you go down where you are, but which would, yeah, not be helpful because the landing zone's like in a very tight spot. So the kickers have to be better at kicking. They can't just kick it out of the end zone every time. But if it lands in the end zone and bounces out of the end zone, they get the ball on the 40-yard line, which is crazy. But yeah, it's a crazy kickoff. The kickoff start line, like the kickoff team, they're on the 40-yard line, and then in between the 40 and then the receiving team, they get to go on the 35, like behind the 35, but I think only two people are allowed to be in the landing zone. I think this will cause more touchdowns on kickoffs.
Let Deuce Vaughn cook.
Yeah, we'll see, but I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm not a big fan of change, but I think it'll be cool to see. And it'll be a little weird for the people who are like kind of sports fans who don't watch that often or like, and they're just like watching football and like, wait, what's going on? But Who knows?
Yeah, so just a little bit of a correction. If it's the landing zone is inside the 20, it's from the 20 to the end zone, and no one is allowed to move except for the kicker and then the one or two returners that they have returning until the returner catches it. And then they line up at the 30 and the 35. And so they start running at each other and they block or whatever. But they're only 5 yards apart, so that should stop a lot of like the hard hits from them running downfield. But that was also kind of the fun of it, just being able to run downfield at full speed and just smack somebody. But so that kind of takes away that option of it. So it's going to be like a lot safer for the returner and for the people playing kickoff. And then there is still touchbacks. If they opt for a touchback, they get the ball at the 30 if it reaches the end zone and it can't be returned. But if they and then I know there's some rule where they get the ball at the 15 if something happens. But I'll let Levi or Ben continue. Talk about something else maybe.
I think we'll roll to free agency and trades. We'll go to Cordell Patterson to the Steelers. Levi, I know you're big into trades and free agency, so
yeah, I've been keeping my eye out on all the trades. I've been checking my phone every second of the day for this stuff. Get a notification every time a trade happens. So. I don't know if Cordell Patterson will be. I don't know if Cordell Patterson will be. Like, he's pretty old. He's getting up there, and he's been in the league for a while. But he's, I mean, obviously he's the return king. He has what, like 9 kickoff returns, and I think with this new rule, he could get more. I don't know. We'll see. Any opinions on?
Update on Will's location. He's currently at his house right now, so he could be telling the truth.
I don't know, maybe once for once, but that was a very short trip. He probably could have been here.
We'll go to
Snead's contract.
Snead, Snead.
I mean, we already talked about Snead in the last one. I mean, we talked about how he's going to the Titans, but this contract is insane. He's getting $55 million guaranteed over like a 4 years, and he's also getting like $75 million. It's a $75 million contract with like $20 million signing bonus, which is, I mean, all of that is underneath the $75,000, and I think the $20 million is part of the $55 guaranteed. But yeah, it's an absurd amount of money for, I don't know, for how little he was traded for. They're paying him a lot of money. So,
I mean, that means they value him. So, I mean, he could be one of their a franchise player for the Titans now. I mean, he's deserving of it. So, yeah. I don't see why not if they've got the cap space for it.
What I don't understand is how can Snead be given for basically nothing and then be signed for so much money? I don't know. What are your thoughts, Eli?
I don't know. I don't think he should be being paid out that much, like, at all. Snead's kind of, like, just a mid to low tier player at best, so.
That's crazy.
Wild. I mean, he didn't allow a single touchdown the whole season.
I'm just pressing. They're both Chiefs fans, so I was just messing with them. No, yeah, I think it's a good sum of money, and he deserves it. He played well last year, at least. And, yeah, the Chiefs did like give him away for pretty much nothing. So, it might have been like a more of a Snead demanded to be traded because he wasn't getting paid enough thing, but we'll see.
Hey, let's just back up there. I'm a Packers fan. I supported the Chiefs because I hate the 49ers, but I'm not crazy about the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think after all that Taylor Swift stuff, I saw you switch over and just only talk about the Packers from then on.
That was it. Luis Reese Zamet. Did I say that right?
I think so.
He's fast.
He is really fast. I saw something where he ran like a 24. He ran 24 miles an hour. I mean, he was playing rugby and he didn't have pads on, but still pretty fast. And I think the fastest speed that Derrick Henry was it?
Was it 22?
Was like 22 miles an hour. I don't know. Something crazy.
Could have been DK Metcalf.
It was DK or Derrick Henry. I think it was DK. Yeah. But still crazy also. But I don't know. I mean, he's a rugby guy. I think he could be good on punt returns or kickoff returns. We'll see, though. I mean, he could be nothing, too. I think it's kind of cool that a rugby guy comes to the NFL. But I don't know.
Do you think this is an actual, like, scouting thing by Andy Reid? Or do you think this is a NFL thing to get, like, football out more to, like, other countries? Because a lot of other countries have, like, rugby, and they, like, watch rugby and not football. So do you think them seeing a rugby player will get more interest in football, and you think that's more of, like, an NFL agenda? Or do you think he's actually getting picked up for, like, an actual scout?
I mean, I think both. I think he was paid. He wasn't paid a ton of money. Like, they didn't. It cost him basically nothing. And well, in NFL money for players, but I mean, he's getting to come. He's getting more money than he'd play do having rugby playing rugby ever. And but, I mean, I think it's a little bit of the NFL's agenda. I think it follows the NFL's agenda. But I think Brett Veach was like, sure, why not? I mean, there's no point in us not trying this guy out. He's pretty good. He seems like he could be a good player. We'll see, though.
All right, we'll swing since we were talking kind of about coaches. We'll go to new coaches that are just signed, maybe first year in the NFL. We'll start with Jim Harbaugh. He ditched Michigan once they got him up there, and he ditched him. So, I just think the college game and the pro game is so different, like completely different. And I think he's going to have a few transition years where he's going to have to figure out the pro game. But I don't think he's going to be a bad coach. It's just that transition is going to be pretty hard for him.
Yeah. I think this first year is going to be trouble with him with the Chargers. They have nothing. All they have is Herbert. And Herbert has been hurt almost every season. They got rid of everything. What do you mean? No, they traded away Heckler.
They traded him. A month ago?
Like the Commanders or something.
It's somewhere like.
Yeah, but I mean, they. I mean, all. I mean. Let me look it up. Yeah, playing the Commanders, 2-year contract for $12 million.
Austin Eckler only 12 mil, really?
I mean, running backs don't get paid very much. No, I know.
He's washed.
Last season was bad for him. Part of that's because Herbert was hurt, but. And also, they just had, like, their coaching tree, there's just not been good. I mean, it's the Charger curse. They're cursed, I think. I don't know.
Because if they start a full rebuild with Harbaugh, Harbaugh can get what he wants and what he's like used to and what he likes. He's not getting input into like a new system that's already set, and so he could do something a little crazy.
Will he draft his own quarterback, JJ McCarthy, as a backup?
I think he's going to be Justin gone Herbert. By that time.
No shot. I think he wants to. I think he would like. I think Jim Harbaugh would like to do that. But there's no shot.
Like draft stock has skyrocketed. He's like being projected third, fourth pick.
It went crazy over the past couple days. I think I've seen it. I mean, because it's this whole like thing of unfolding because Caleb Williams. I think his pro day was just kind of like meh, and Jaden Daniels was really good. And they're kind of projecting that he swaps with Drake May, which I can definitely see that happening. But, I mean, I'd love to see him playing for his
A lot of people are saying that maybe the Broncos will trade up for It's like a pick in the draft, but we just have nothing left. If we we'll have to trade like our 2028 first round pick to get up there, bro. Like it's just a bad offseason.
The Chargers have a fifth round, so I think he could fall there, the but fifth we'll round see. Or the fifth I mean. Pick?
The fifth,
not fifth round, fifth pick. Sorry, my bad, chat.
Fifth pick. Okay, they can get him.
They can get him, but he might go to the Commanders. Commanders don't have any, but they traded away Sam Howell. They don't have Sam Howell anymore.
What pick do they have?
The second pick.
I feel like they. I have a feeling they take Jaden Daniels.
I don't know. We'll see who. We'll see where all that falls. I mean, there's a lot. This is a very high quarterback draft. There's a lot of good quarterbacks who, well. We'll see when they get in the NFL, but
I think Drake May is going to be a stinker.
What?
I don't know who's going to be a bigger stinker, Drake May or Caleb.
Caleb Williams.
Are you sure the Chargers have the fifth?
Like, yeah, the fifth pick in the draft.
The Vikings have the fifth pick.
The Vikings have the 11th pick.
No, the Chargers. Oh, did they trade?
I think so. This is I'm literally on the NFL website.
Oh, but no, the thing I'm looking at says. That the guy's predicting that they'll trade, that the Vikings will trade up for J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, I could see that happening. They don't have Kirk Cousins anymore. The Chargers don't really need J.J. McCarthy because they have Herbert. But, I mean, I don't know. Herbert's been stinking it up these last few years. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll move to we'll just skip through to Jerod Mayo. He knows the system. He knows the Patriots system, and I mean I don't see him bringing immediate success, but it's not a bad head coach.
Yeah. I think he could. It's gonna take a while. Patriots, they don't have very much. And when I think it's really hard to go from losing with a crazy good coach to winning with a coach who has to prove himself.
Okay, this is a valid question. I've seen it posted everywhere. Can Caitlin Clark play in the NBA? It's immediate no from me.
Immediate no.
All right. Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. But she's pretty good. We can't. I mean, for a female basketball player, I doubt she would make it.
So Levi has a crush on Caitlin Clark. All right, real time. D1.
I'm not right.
Caitlin Clark is not making it D3 in a men's league. If she couldn't even play in the G League, she'd maybe get. I don't even know if she'd put up a bucket in the G League. Go overseas. Not gonna make a bucket there against any men. Like. Just the amount of physical gameplay, and she's just so entitled at the level she is. Have you seen the video of her just throwing fits and like just smacking the ball? Even her dad wanted her out of the game. He's embarrassed to have her as a daughter. And just so, I'm just saying, I don't think she's making it anywhere if she was a man.
I agree. I know, I was not going to say that she can make it in the NBA. I was just saying she's pretty good.
For a woman.
She can shoot, but she cannot compete. Yeah, physically in the NBA or in any men's league, that's any good.
Because what's the WNBA schedule like? Because I know the NBA schedule, it's just game after game after game. I don't know if she could keep up with that.
I don't know.
And anyways, on the WNBA topic, they should just be shut down. They lose money every year. What is it? They're $120 million in debt to the NBA. And the owner of the WNBA somehow is still, her net worth is still over $500 million. And like, I get having like equality and stuff, but like, if they're good enough, make them play in the NBA. We don't have to have a separate women's division. Just get it all out. And so then we could actually see if Caitlin Clark was good enough. And we wouldn't even have to have this debate. Instead, she's going to be going to the WNBA and make $60,000 a year from the NBA, just wasting money on no one watching.
Do you think she should take the big three contract? Have you seen that? It's Ice Cube's basketball league. He offered her $5 million.
Yes.
I think she's not going to do it because she wants to be legit and wants to become like a real player.
She wants to be like an inspiration to.
Yeah, but like the WNBA is a joke. No one ever watches it. And so she's going to be making, again, like $60,000 a year when she should be having to pay $60,000 a year to play in it to like make it a profitable business. And so I think she should just take Ice Cube's deal. She'd get way more publicity out of that. But I want to play real basketball.
Peace out.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy.